It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Our guy, Nate Littlefield, hanging out behind the glass. And what a weekend it was. The Kings get a W against the defending champs. The Niners get a W against the Philadelphia Eagles. Kyle Draper, we got an APB out looking for Kyle Draper, who's going to be in the building in Golden 1 getting ready for Kings Pelicans. But Kyle, you can't duck the smoke forever. Mm-mm. Okay? We will see you in studio tomorrow, my friend, as we talk all things cheesecakes. L's and cheesecakes. That's the name of the new show. Cheese steaks. Yes, we might be eating cheesecake. You need a cheesecake if you get a W. You don't get a cheesecake if you don't get a W. Emil Fragoso joins us. That will be at 11 a.m. to talk Niners, our Sactown Sports 49ers insider. Chris Watkins.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing fantastic. What a game it was yesterday, and what a game it was on Saturday as well. Sacramento Kings beating the defending champs. Can't come in on a Monday and feel down after that. So,
no.
Feeling good. And the Vikings didn't play this weekend, so I don't have anything to be upset about. So.
Yeah, neither did the Raiders.
Oh,
neither did the Raiders. So, you know, just wins all around. And, you know,
there are no losses.
There are some years where it felt like your team might lose to the bye week, right?
Yes.
But this is not one of those years. And if you're a 49ers and a Kings fan, I mean, you're probably walking on a cloud right now because the Niners take care of business. They destroy the Eagles. The Kings go on to beat the Nuggets, and now they have an opportunity to avenge what happened in NOLA when you had too much jambalaya and too much gumbo, and Zion took care of business, right? So what will happen tonight for the in-season tournament? We got that whole breakdown. But it's very simple here. Sometimes when me and Chris, we sit down, oh my goodness, what is there? When the Kings had, 3 days off?
Yep.
We had to dig a little bit deeper. A day like
get
today.
Get
in the bag a little bit. A day like the Jansport. A day like today. Don't really got to do that.
No.
It writes itself because the Niners, I mean, you talk about avenging something, all right? The Niners go into Philadelphia.
Yep.
They turn the cheesesteaks into cheesecakes. they were Brock Purdy chance in Lincoln Financial. They had Niners chance. They had Eagles fans leaving early. And for all this talk about physicality, right? I would dare I say some people would maybe when you see, okay, you see not Debo, but Ayuk and all the different motions and stuff. I wouldn't call the Niners a jump shooting NFL team, but sometimes it can feel like that, right? But the Niners, they started in the trenches, okay? And a lot of people forget about that. And the Niners, that first quarter, we'll get into the details. The Niners got back to what they wanted to do. And here's the question. This is how I see everything, how everything played out.
Yep.
The game started. Kyle Shanahan maybe thought, okay, we can throw the football around. Let's try to catch the Eagles on their heels. Hassan Reddick, T for Temple U. Hassan Reddick said, that's not happening.
No.
Right? So Kyle Shanahan said, okay, let's do what works. Let's play the greatest hits. Play the hits. That's what program directors all across America
that's
say.
That's what they'll tell you.
Play the hits. Let's see if you feel like tackling Debo in your cold weather. And nobody ever likes to tackle Debo in any weather, let alone cold weather. You talk about the Avengers. Remember, what was it, Nate? The first Avengers, when they say, hey, well, we have a Hulk. The Niners have a Debo.
Yep.
And when you have a Debo and you can unleash a Debo whenever you feel like it, I don't care about the routes he runs. I don't care about how crisp his cuts look.
Nah.
The bottom line is nobody wants to tackle that man.
Nah.
Okay? It's not disrespectful to say, hey, you know, Debo, is he the most polished wide receiver? Because it doesn't matter. Nobody wants to tackle him.
No.
He is, I don't know, Chris. To me, he is the most difficult skill position player to tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like if in college football for the recruiting sense, like they obviously do positions, you know, your number one at receiver, running back, and all that stuff. There's also this position athlete where it's just like, we don't know what this guy's going to play.
Yes.
He could play corner, he could play receiver, he could play whatever. This dude is just an athlete. Mm-hmm. We're just going to label him as such. That's what Debo Samuel is. And you saw it yesterday. I mean, he standing on business has definitely become the phrase that everyone's been using, but that's really what it is. Like, when you talk as much trash as what the Niners did and just in general, the collective both these teams did this week, and Debo, you know, had the whole thing over the offseason of we played it on Friday, the Zach Gelb interview, and just talking a lot about if we had our quarterback, this was going to be different. And then on Sunday, showing up in the black Air Forces, they were black Jordan ones, but it's, whatever, it's all the same. Showing up in the all black, he had the leather suit, looking like he was ready for Mad Max or something, or ready for a nice Harley ride across the country. And he showed up. Like, he took care of – he pretty much beat the Eagles himself. What, he had three touchdowns, and the Eagles had – what, they finished with 19 points, 21 points? Like, Debo was a man on a mission on Sunday, and that's that was my big takeaway was, like you said, that's another car, if you will, that the Niners brought out the lot on Sunday. They've got so many – it's like – you know, it's like Jay Leno and all his nice, fancy cars. They have so many different ones that they can whip out any Sunday. And this past Sunday was Debo's opportunity. And, man, it might be like he looked like, you know, we, all season long it's felt like Christian McCaffrey is that guy that, you know, the Niners have that nobody has an answer for. But it seems like now, I mean, with Debo's performance yesterday and the kind of disappointing season he had last year, it feels like Debo has kind of put himself into that category as well as an elite, elite tool that this team has. I mean, he's obviously been a big piece, a big weapon, but – what he did on Sunday felt different.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to get into the Brock Purdy conversation, and a lot of people will maybe think that you or I are being disrespectful to Brock depending on what we say and if we're giving him enough flowers.
Right.
The bottom line is this, and you know, Nate is probably the most hardcore Niner fan at this station. I know Dave might have something to say about that, and we can go back and forth. But I am curious, Niner fans, how they feel about Brock Purdy. He flies up the MVP list. Now he is number one, right? Him and Dak are, depending on which odds makers you're looking at. And you look at the rest of that team, and it's not just about whether you're respecting or disrespecting Brock Purdy. The bottom line is, and we'll get into the, whether it's Super Bowl or bust, we'll talk about that as well. The bottom line is that this team as a whole fits together like this baseball I have in a glove, right? Because it's not just about Brock Purdy. And if he had, if Brock Purdy was on the Chiefs, what would the Chiefs look like with these skills? And none of that matters because honestly, I could say the same thing about every skill position player. They all help each other. Debo Samuel, for as much as we are giving him his flowers right now, if Debo was your number one and your number two was not was maybe a borderline number two, a 2B guy.
We've seen that. We've seen that with the 2019 Niners.
So you're saying, no, but I'm saying.
The 2021 Niners.
No, but I'm saying if Debo is your number one threat, I think that everybody needs each other. I think that Debo looks like this because you're asking a defense to not only deal with Debo. That defense last night, they bracketed Ayuk. They said, we've seen Ayuk boogie. We're not letting Ayuk beat us. But now, okay, well, do you feel like tackling Debo? Right? So it's not just a Brock Purdy specific thing when it's he's benefiting from the team. The whole team is benefiting from the team. And that's why I do think it's Super Bowl or bust. There is no who is the next closest complete team in the NFL?
Probably the Eagles.
The Ravens, maybe, too.
Yeah,
right?
Or maybe the Ravens.
The Ravens, and they're missing their all-pro tight end.
I think the Ravens because their defense. I think the Eagles' defense is too flat.
Very flat.
Right, everybody. No, because even Kyle Draper said, you got to get to the quarterback because that secondary. That secondary has been injured for what feels like the last three seasons for the Eagles. But even off, but here's the problem. I was surprised that the Niners put up this many points.
Yeah,
but I think
sure.
We all knew that the Eagles also knew that we have to keep the Niners under 30. Definitely. We're not going to be able to score. They haven't done it all season. Obviously, they lose their offensive coordinator. They have not been able to score with teams with the other teams all season. We're going to bring you to the trenches. We're going to bring you to the gutter, and then we're going to beat you, like you said so famously, Chris, 20-17, 21-18. You get that bad boy past 25-30, the Eagles do not have that action this season. They don't.
No.
And I don't think that when the Niners play the Ravens on Christmas, I don't think the Ravens, unless you're telling me the Ravens are going to be able to hold the Niners under 25-30, the Ravens, without Mark Andrews, I like Isaiah, they're not going to be able to score.
No.
They're not going to be able to score 30 points.
No, not at all. And to me, that's what made this Niners win I mean, I won't say more impressive than anything else. I mean, obviously, quality of opponent definitely plays a factor into it. But just the style in which it happened, I think, was so impressive because, like you said, in that first quarter, what was the stat? Negative 6 yards or something in that first half. And for them, I mean, we've talked a lot about them being front runners, and I think that conversation is still there because I think there's a difference of being down for three quarters and coming back than being down for one quarter and coming back. But I think that that's really the thing that impressed me so much is that they were able to kind of turn the offense on after that, after three quarters. I mean, they scored 42 points in three quarters, essentially. I don't think that any other team in the NFL brings the totality, like you said, the complete team that the Niners bring. Like, even the Ravens, yes, they have an elite defense, but their offense isn't sniffing the level, the caliber that the Niners is, and that's what's set the Niners apart. That this is the totality is what's made the Niners as dominant as they've been these past, whatever, 4 to 6 year run, is the fact that not only is the offense capable of putting up 42 on you, but they're also capable of completely shutting down the other team, and that's just not a combination that really any team in the NFL has. There's usually only one, two, maybe three teams, but it feels like this year in the NFL, the top-end talent just kind of isn't there.
No, and maybe...
Which is also helping them, because like, if there's a big bad out there, I don't know how much, you know, how much more or less confidence we have in the Niners. It feels like this, kind of like the NBA season, is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm thinking we got to get to a break when we get back. Can anyone stop the Niners? And how surprised are you at how the Niners showed up? We have a meal for Goso at 11. And then at 12 o'clock, we start our Kings coverage, getting you ready for the Pelicans. And oh, by the way, bringing up that they beat Jokic and the defending champ, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Emil Fragoso will be joining us at 11 to talk Niners.
He will be joining us via the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, which is Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop.
There you go. Thank you for that, Nate. As we break down all things Niners, we will get into the Kings, Pelicans, expectations for the in-season tournament, De'Aaron Fox and his MVP discussion. That all starts at 12. As you can see, if you're looking on the YouTube, shout out to the YouTube. Chris and I, we were both busy this weekend, so we're still trying to figure out the YouTube name for the chat in the YouTube name. I forgot to text Chris over my thoughts, so I will do that. I will do that with him. So shout out if you are watching on YouTube, and you can see my shirt. If you do not understand my shirt, so basically, as a lot of people know, I went to school in Philadelphia, and they kept on saying this word called John, right? And I thought, at first, I thought they were saying, like, hey, like that. Remember back in the 90s, that joint was crazy. Yes. That's what I thought they were saying, was just a drawl, like an East Coast drawl. Then I learned it's an actual word.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah. In Philadelphia, a noun, a John could be different things, right? Let's say we're in the studio right now, and let's say I needed my cord or something. I would say, hey, Chris, pass me that John.
Right.
Like, that could be a John. The game could be a John. Did y'all see that John? You could see a lot of different things. So I'm wearing my John shirt because did y'all see that John last night? The Niners took care of business, and the Eagles did not quite show up. Nate hopped into the studio during the break, and we were going back and forth about the Debo thing. And, you know, for Debo, I feel that at the beginning of the season, when you talk about the Miami Dolphins of the world and even, you know, some of these teams that like to throw the football around, when it gets a little bit colder, you see them start to falter. That is why the Niners right now have a perfect combination of the ability to run the football and throw the football. So it's starting to get a little bit colder.
Yep.
All right, I'm running warm now because I just had my coffee and I won't stop talking. So I'm running warm now, but it's starting to get a little bit colder outside. And I would say, Chris Watkins, that we are starting to enter, and Nate brought up that 2019 run in the playoffs, or even a couple years later with Debo, Nate brought up what Debo did when it starts to get colder. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we are starting to enter Debo weather.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's in general just kind of, yeah, as the weather gets colder, the styles of play change. And this mm-hmm. is why we've been questioning teams like the Miami Dolphins yeah. who, they won in cold weather this yeah. weekend against the Commanders, but right. nonetheless, still rainy weather. But yeah, this is where football kind of changes and you have to change your play, because I think you said it during the last segment. It's not like, you know, during summer when you're you know, during the warmer yeah, some months yeah. when you're throwing the ball out there and Brandon Ayuk can have a field day. Well, you know, once the weather gets cold, the ball gets stiff, yeah. you know, guys start, you know, it becomes a lot harder to catch the ball and a lot tougher to throw the ball. You got to run the ball. You got to become a lot more physical team, and that's where they're going to rely heavily on Debo Samuel. Yeah. I mean, we've seen them in the past use him, obviously, heavily in the run game, but also you saw on Sunday with the short passes as well. I think you told me it was Brock's lowest air yard performance of the season.
It was 4.6, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a coincidence, and I don't think that that's something that's going to slow down anytime soon. I think this is the season of ground and pound, and the thing that made the Niners so great, and they really showed it on Sunday, is that yard after the catch. It shouldn't yeah. be about air yards anymore at this point in the season.
No.
It's about getting the ball with space and just outrunning guys. And I don't know, I don't think there's a team in the NFL that's built more for this kind of weather, this kind of style of play, than the Niners right now, mm-hmm. especially with a healthy Trent Williams. And, oh yeah, that injury-prone guy, Christian McCaffrey, he's still standing back there pretty strong.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, I've always felt that Kyle Shanahan likes to work in terms of starters and closers, yeah. right? When whatever, we talk Prize Picks sometimes on this game, whatever has been working, if you go in, okay, halftime, I'm going to put in a Prize Picks at halftime,
yeah.
don't do it, right? Because if it was George Kittle early, he's probably not getting the ball in the second half.
Right.
And vice versa. Whoever hasn't touched the ball, right, it's probably going to go, because Kyle Shanahan loves to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the Niners to come out and just really be able to just manhandle, if you are the Eagles, right, if you're the Cowboys, if you're another NFC team and you're watching that tape, what is your take? Oh, okay, this is what we can do to beat the Niners. There's nothing.
No.
Because you don't have Debo on your team yeah. or anybody.
Or a number one defense.
Or
like
a number
they
one
had
defense that can keep the tush push and the right. brotherly shove out of the end zone. They didn't the second time, but by that time the Niners had already taken the lead.
Yep.
You kept that Eagles, if the Eagles score one touchdown there, right, those first two drives, I think it might be a different ball game.
Yeah, for sure.
But they were able to keep them out two field goals. And the Niners, even at their worst throughout those three games, that losing streak, the least amount of points the Niners scored during that stretch was 17.
Yep.
Right? The Eagles only scored 19 all game yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. So the Niners felt like even at their worst, there's no way. If you guys are squeaking by with yeah. 6 points and it felt like you destroyed us in that quarter, and all we got to do is score a touchdown, and we have the lead. Yeah. I think that was really disheartening for everybody in green, yeah. right, in Lincoln Financial, all the Eagles players, Eagles fans. They felt, man, we just ran down, and then the Niners, bend don't break, made you force two field goals, and the Niners felt like there's no way. We all know you're not keeping us out of the end zone. And then once that happened, we said on this show, hey, what the Eagles do, that come from behind stuff, is all good and well, and it's cute.
Yep.
That's not going to work against the Niners.
Yeah.
That's not going to work against the Niners.
Because you'll go down and you'll keep going.
They're not going to give it up. They have not done that. Once the most rhythmic offense right in the NFL, and when that rhythm gets going, there's just no stopping it. The YouTube chat, Scooter916, because I brought up that I went to school in Philly. Are you an Eagles fan? No, I am not. But Jalen Hurts is on my fantasy team, and he did not do me any favors yesterday. But no, I am not. I got this shirt in Philly, but I am not an Eagles fan. You talked to Kyle Draper about that, though.
Yeah.
We're still looking for him. We're still looking for Kyle.
You know, I feel like we've known Kyle enough to know. I don't think Kyle's ducking smoke.
I don't think Kyle's ducking smoke anyway. I can't wait for tomorrow.
No, I can't,
wait for tomorrow.
I can't wait because I know he's going to bring it.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
He's going to have something.
Do you think that there is any team out there,
uh-huh.
right? And I'm trying really hard, Chris,
yeah.
to not be prisoner of the mm-hmm. moment. I am, but we've watched this whole season.
Yep.
And my stance, I think your stance, if you can't stop the Niners from getting in that rhythm,
yep.
there is no other team like the Niners. Their two biggest foes, right, in the NFC, The Eagles and the Cowboys, number one, happen to be in the same division, so they're going to beat each other up. And number two, they dropped 40 burgers on both of them.
Manhandled them.
Both of them. Blowouts.
Yeah, no question.
Blowouts.
No question at all. Like, the ball is back in both of those teams' court when it comes to those matchups. Like, it's now on the Eagles to try and respond, because to me, the most impressive thing that the Niners did yesterday was backing up the talk. Like, I really think that's so impressive that you know, because a lot of times, like our guy, we like to point out our guy Draymond saying, you know, loudness speaks insecurity. Like, and a lot of the times, the team that is louder is the team that doesn't feel as confident. But I do think this is a rare sports case in which the team that's loudest actually is loudest because they see what they see and they know what they can do and they feel like they were legitimately wronged. And To go out there and prove it in the Eagles' house, like, I don't know if there's any team in the NFL that could have put up as impressive as a performance as what they did. Because we're not talking about that game was close and then the Niners squeaked it out late or even – it was a complete, utter domination. After the Niners figured it out, the seal was broken. There was the waterfall was flushing, was flowing. Like, there was no stopping them. It'd be one thing if you could be the Eagles and say, oh, like, we at least, you know, we got them going and then we stopped them, but it was just too much. We let them go on a run. It was once the Niners figured you guys out, they figured it out and there was no turning back. So, yeah, I mean, it's now on the Eagles and it's on the Cowboys, I think, from a mentality standpoint. When the Niners face them, or if the Niners face them in the postseason, Niners don't have a fear of anybody. No. Not that it's clear they didn't have a fear of the Eagles in the first place, but now there's no mental barriers that's blocking them from ultimately achieving what they hope to.
No, not right now. And, you know, just looking around the NFL and what the Niners have been able to do, I just, like, again, maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but it's just there's no other team that has manhandled other elite teams like the Niners.
No.
You know, so if... When the Niners had that, now that's at full
strength.
Okay, yes. I saw somebody yesterday. I think it was actually our guy Jason Dumas who was on Friday. Jason basically said, if the Niners are the best team healthy, but he would still give it to, I don't know about the Cowboys. You know, Jason, fly Eagles, fly. He's an Eagles fan. He if you get to the playoffs and somebody isn't healthy, which could happen because it's the playoffs, then the Eagles are more built to get through with big injuries, right? If they lost Devontae, maybe they'd still be able to figure out, or A.J. Brown is going to be able to figure out. What we've seen is that they haven't had Dallas Goedert, and they beat the Chiefs, and they beat some of these teams. What we've seen is, as much as we talk about the different pieces of the Niners, you miss one, and the whole thing looked completely different, whereas other teams maybe in the NFL would still be able to get by. Now,
I think it depends who the guy is.
It depends when it happens, right?
I think we've seen if Debo goes down, that's massive impact because there's nobody who does what Debo does. Mm. But if Brandon Ayuk goes down, is it as crucial? Like, is it as critical, I should say?
You saw Juwan Jennings.
You saw Ronnie Bell early in the season have himself some moments. Even if McCaffrey goes down, of course McCaffrey is one of a kind, but you can maybe try and supplement it with Elijah Mitchell and with Debo in the backfield.
I forgot Elijah Mitchell's on the team.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely.
Is he on the team?
He's still on the team.
Is he suited up?
Barely getting carries, but yeah, he's still suited and booted for the team. So, I think it all depends on who the guy is. Like, again, I think we saw when Trent Williams went down as well. Like, I don't know if there's any replacing that. So, I would say it probably depends on who the one is.
Like, yeah.
If, you know, they might be able to survive someone on their defensive line going down to, I don't know. It just kind of depends who the one guy is.
Yeah, we gotta go. But even so, the same thing we do with Brock Purdy as we talked about the MVP odds. I mean, there were some runs where Debo was Debo. There were also some runs where he got escorted in. Nobody around him. Yeah. So we can't do this with Brock Purdy and say, you know, a day like yesterday where there are a lot of screens, a lot of slants. We've seen Brock make that guy throws. He didn't really need to yesterday. And when you see Debo, there were a couple words like, that's Debo beat Debo. There was somewhere, I mean, it was you know, you were safe. It was 6 feet. Six feet, you know, we're good to go, right? I've been closer to people in the elevators when we are at Golden One, like we will be tonight when the Kings take on the Pelicans. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Big Dom versus Dre Greenlaw. Chris Watkins will set all that up. And where do you stand? Might not be happy about where we stand. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Emil Fragoso at 11 a.m. We will be joined by Emil and all guests and callers from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I do have a question.
What up?
So I haven't put it out there yet on my Alan Asks segment, but my wife brought this up today, and for those... If I just need to help my location here, I am in located in North Natomas right now. And the question is, where can we get? We have our Chinese spot solid.
Okay.
We're still, we have our bar, we've had barbecue out here solid. Where can we get a solid, solid breakfast burrito?
Oh.
I mean, any of the, like, Aldoberto spots have, like, the 24 breakfast burrito, which is bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. But those are all, like, do you guys have those in the Bay?
No, I don't even know what that means.
There's, like, chain
yeah.
Mexican restaurants that Carolinas. All have, like, slightly different names, but all their number 24 burritos are breakfast burritos, and they're okay. Usually good.
All right.
There's Oscars. Very, Oscars. Very excellent. I can't speak. North Natomas isn't really my neck of the
well,
woods.
We'll drive. We'll drive.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know there was a North Natomas.
Yeah.
I thought it was just Natomas.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Scooter 916 on YouTube, Birdo's on El Camino, and how?
Yeah. I mean, it's all the.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all. Okay. Yeah. That spot, I live kind of over there. There's a few over there for okay. sure. I mean, all the. They're all like drive through like
California burrito.
California sure. burrito for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, yeah. That I mean, that's all I can think for yeah. breakfast burrito specifically.
I would definitely say my go-to would probably be Oscars. There's one in West Sac and there's one in Land Park-ish area
okay.
Right across from McClatchy High School, but that would probably be where I would go first and foremost. And then, yeah, like the Aldobertos, the Carolinas, those of the area.
And right. The best spot in the greater Sacramento area, if you count Davis, for me, was Alibaba. They had a breakfast burrito where they put honey, tapatio. It was like Euro meat, fries.
Excuse
dude,
me.
It was eggs. It's everyone gets it. And the whole place is basically designed around this burrito mm-hmm. where you walk in and they're ready to go constantly and they're constantly hot because everyone's eating them all day. And it's buy
this
five,
is up
get
by
one
Davis.
Free. This is in Davis, so it's far. But
other side of the causeway.
And they do all their own orange juice. They squeeze it themselves. Ooh. It's delicious.
Love
and
that.
So if you like
wow.
pulpy fresh orange juice,
yeah,
dude, it's the Davis go-to. It is
okay.
Fantastic. It sounds a little weird, the Tapatio
no,
honey.
No, it does not.
But it is. It's so unique. It's very good.
Okay,
sounds
well,
bomb.
Thank you, Nate, and keep them coming for this Alan Asks. I'm trying to find the best breakfast burrito that is not too far from me in my Natomas location.
Yeah, Natomas is yeah, that's just not my stomping ground. So you can maybe ask our guy Frankie. He might know a spot.
I'll talk to Frankie.
Yeah,
I'll talk to Frankie.
That's his
tonight.
Hood. So
speaking of stomping grounds. Seemed like the Niners were on the Eagles' stomping ground when Big Dom had to get in the mix. And it was Dre Greenlaw. They're calling him Draymond Greenlaw
Shout
these days.
Whitey's so great
it's
for that.
It's ridiculous. And did you see the picture? Somebody put
yes.
Draymond's
oh
face
gosh.
On
these AI arts are crazy.
On Greenlaw's body, the body slam. And Greenlaw is almost kind of known for it at this point. He's always doing something that he shouldn't be. He totes that line a little bit. What was your breakdown of that whole situation?
It was definitely a messy situation that felt like it was brewing. It's felt like it's been brewing for weeks or months or maybe, who knows, maybe even a full year at this point. It felt like one of those things where, A, it was inevitable that there was going to be some sort of scuffle or some sort of altercation that went on. You probably thought it was going to happen in the pregame. I know they showed the Niners, like, blocking off the Eagles' sideline
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, Sirianni.
So, yeah, like, you had to know with Sirianni as well after he was mouthing off to Chiefs fans. Like, he was probably going to be a little mouthy to these guys. So it was kind of an inevitability that that something like this was going to happen. But then, yeah, you have the moment where Now, it's almost interesting everyone's perspective on how this thing even kicks off. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a tackle that happens towards the sideline. That wasn't the one where Greenlaw suplexed him, was it? That's not what set it off, right? Wasn't that earlier in the game where Greenlaw suplexed the
Eagles
player?
There was one with Jalen Hurts that was close.
Where he got shoved out of bounds.
Yeah. Those are kind of the only two I can think of where I thought it was going to go Hurts' way.
Yeah.
I think the announcers did too.
So, right. That was earlier on. There was no flag thrown on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you felt all this stuff brewing, and then there's the altercation at the sideline where some say that Draymond Green.
It's tough, man.
Some say that Dre Greenlaw was the first one to put hands on, and Dom was just separating the two. And then, but from how I saw it, I don't really think that any of the who started it first, who whatever, mattered. Mm-hmm. To me, Dre Greenlaw has to be better in that moment, very much like how we talk about Draymond Green in moments like that, where you just got to recognize the situation and understand pulling yourself away from that situation is the best thing you can do. Not getting into an altercation, not putting yourself in a situation where you're putting the ball in the referee's floor. Because in that moment, with all the emotions, I laid out everything that had happened in that game. The referees are not going to allow any sort of physical altercation, because then it's just going to, if you let that slide, then who knows what happens the next time they go over to the 49ers sideline. And you had to make some sort of statement there if you're the referee, or else the game could get out of hand. So I understand why the referees threw out Dre Greenlaw. Of course, the Eagles are going to take that trade 100 times out of 100. They'll take their head of security for your starting linebacker and your leader in tackles every single day of the week. That's why Dre Greenlaw has to be smarter in that moment. You just can't let the emotions of that game dictate your actions. And especially when you're up like they were, that could have been a big pivotal swing. We just talked about that Kings-Warriors game, how Draymond's tech really spurred the Kings' run. A very similar thing could have happened, and you saw the Eagles go down and score on that drive. That really could have been a very bad moment for the Niners in that game.
Yeah, if the Niners weren't just better than the Eagles, right?
Really?
I mean, we're talking. It's a little bit different, and I like your comparison. It's a little bit different because we all know that the Kings have tended to play down to the Warriors, right?
Totally.
So then, when you do poke the bear, that you woke the bear up in the Kings, and the Kings were able to take advantage. The Niners were just better than the Eagles. Yeah. There wasn't anything that was going to stop. Yeah.
The Eagles were already down. You were almost giving them fuel to get
back
up. Right,
because they were down two scores at that point.
Yeah.
So the Niners would have needed to allow a score, then get stopped, which we just didn't see happening. So,
but it could have.
So
just you're putting yourself in a situation where the game could turn.
It's easy to say it now, and it's going to be a footnote. But again, in the playoffs, when things are cold, and maybe you're not dropping a 40 burger, and now it's the second time you're playing the Eagles.
And Debo can't score on a .1% chance run or whatever that was.
Exactly. So now it could matter a little bit more. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything from Big Dom that I thought he's trying to get into it with Dre Greenlaw. I know people that have on their Niners sunglasses aren't able to do that. Should he have necessarily done that? I don't know. And everyone, well, why is he even on? I know Barry Rader. Well, why is he even on the sidelines? All these guys got security. I know you probably would have liked to see him go, you know, talk to his guy first, I guess. But I just thought that it didn't feel like I'm trying to fight Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah.
I didn't
What's
come
his
off
job
like that.
Then? What's his job then? Besides, like, keeping fans away. Like, Chris, you made a great point.
I don't know, but he's not. What is it? What's the name of the security? I think everybody knows the security that's not a part. I get what you're saying, Nate, because there's a security that works like
there's
all
like
these
arena
arenas,
security.
Right? And they have nothing to do with the team. That one in particular, I think that's his job.
Yes.
I think that's his job. Don't know. Like, Chris, you said before the show, what was that example you gave of the NBA?
Yeah, so in the NBA, whenever there's a scuffle or an ejection or anything that's happening, there's team security that will go onto the floor and, like, forcefully remove their, not forcefully, but they will escort their player off of the floor. And, like, that is just a position that exists. Everybody knows it. You probably just don't even recognize it, but it's a normal person in team staff equipment that sits on the end of the bench. And if there's any sort of person that's thrown out or anything, they will go onto the floor and try and separate the situation. So it's not like that foreign of a concept for a team employee to be out there to de-escalate a situation. And right. Yeah, maybe he stepped in a little bit early, but
he's a security
that's
guard.
Quite literally like, his
I would,
job.
Yeah, and I would beat him to the point. Yeah. And what was so weird about that ejection, it took a long time to get everyone out.
Yeah.
Like that third
Trey
quarter
Greenlaw hung around on the sideline.
Yeah, and I'm
he?
Like, oh, is he not ejected? Yeah. Is he? And then that Dom dude, I think Dre was gone after Dom was gone. It was such a weird scenario, but thank God Dre Greenlaw isn't on the level that Draymond Green is for the Warriors from the standpoint of how important he is to the team.
Yes.
Dre Greenlaw is incredibly important, and he's probably going to be a Pro Bowler this year. He's great, but he's not Draymond Green.
No. The names are funny, but nobody is saying that he's Draymond Green. And to be honest, he shouldn't be because he gets to do a lot more because it is football. You can take out a lot more anger in football than
you
in
can
basketball.
Put somebody in a chokehold and get away with it.
I've seen some of Draymond's clips, and it looks like he's trying to play football.
Especially,
but
he made a tackle the other night.
That's
man, right?
That's my favorite one. That Draymond, I think it's 40 time at that. He might have been cooking about a 4-7 right there. He was cooking right there. But, yeah, to everybody's point, making it seem like, you know, back in the day, I think a lot of people have worked at some point landmark security.
Yeah.
When you're landmark security, you have nothing to do with the team. That's not what this guy is. It wasn't some random landmark security person, right? This guy worked for the team. The Eagles know him.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I don't have his job description. I don't have his LinkedIn. But it seems
you better believe Niner fans do. I'm looking at the YouTube chat right now. That's already on there.
They got
from 1996.
Yeah.
You know, Big Dom has been working in the Eagles facility. And
you gotta respect it at least.
Was it 100% in Big Dom's work job description to get involved in that moment? I would almost guarantee probably not. Mm-hmm. Okay, but he was there in the moment, and I think even Nate said it's not even like he was trying to escalate the situation. Like, you know, Dre Greenlaw gets in his face or throws the hand in his face. He makes contact with his lip. You don't in that moment see Big Dom, you know,
right,
trying to
moment,
reach out,
right.
You know,
it's
he
on
and Homer
popping.
Simpson
yeah.
try and no, strangle and Bart. Like,
for the record, though, I don't think I would have been good with neither. I would have been good with both and both happening, either both getting ejected or both not getting
totally.
Ejected. I don't think they both needed to be ejected either. But to your point, I think you had said in our pre-show, you probably couldn't have one without the other.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Exactly. You couldn't. Yeah. No, there's no way you could have picked sides there and said, oh, well, Dre Greenlaw, you know, actually made No, like at that point, it's either both or neither, but also both have to. I personally think that both had to get thrown out in that moment, more just to set the example, because it was clear emotions are running high, and you don't know as a referee how that game's going to go. If the Eagles are going to get, if they don't score on that drive and get blown out the rest of the game, well, then the Eagles might say, well, we're not going to win the battle. We might as well, or we're not going to win the war. Maybe we try and win the battle, and who knows what that game divulges into.
Right. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Brock Purdy flies up the MVP ladder. Best odds, says Vegas. But should he be? Not trying to sound like a hater. We'll see if I am. We'll see if Chris is. When we get back, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. It is getting hot in her. Shout out Nelly with Chris Watkins and myself. The YouTube chat.
Yo.
The text line. The callers defending their guy, Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, big time.
And Big Dom, we have information on Big Dom from 1999.
Too much.
Y'all go deep. Hey, shout out. I like Law and Order too. I like Cold Case. Okay, I appreciate people digging deep for their guys. And you ask 10 people this question, if you show them the clips, you'll probably get 10 different answers.
Probably.
So it's one of those things where the NFL doesn't have to deal with it too often. So, you know, did they handle it the best way? Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Depends on who you ask.
I didn't think it was like the actions itself didn't feel like it was ejection worthy. I will give Niner fans that if they want to say like, oh, like, come on. It was just a little bit of a scuffle. But again, I just think all of the extras that go into it is the reason why it had to be done. I just don't think you can let those kind of emotions slide and let it start to get physical and just let it go unchecked in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where this is high level.
There's already some big hits. We haven't even talked about that DeAndre Swift hit.
I mean, he got cracked.
Dude, I don't know.
Is he okay?
He's got to be. Lenore.
He got up, right?
It took a while. That was clean, though.
And look. You know, I don't know. We can confirm whether he's in concussion protocol or not. But now you got the count. This is a gauntlet for the Eagles, right?
What, they've already played the Chiefs and the Bills in this stretch.
They played the Chiefs and the Bills.
Now they're going to Dallas,
right? Because people were saying that they were 3-1 in the gauntlet. So who did they play before the Chiefs?
Wasn't it the Cowboys?
Was it the Cowboys?
I think it was not Washington. Because
well, that shouldn't count
with Washington.
Towards the gauntlet.
That should not count towards the gauntlet.
Let me see here. So looking at it, they...
It is wild the Eagles had their starters in that late.
I mean, even...
It was the Cowboys.
Since they've taken their loss, they've had to play, the Dolphins even, which is a tough matchup, and then the Commanders, and then, Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, and then Cowboys, Seahawks.
I hate to do this because I am wearing a John shirt.
Sure.
But I'm not caping for the Eagles here. But really, I mean, to everybody just saying, if the NFL wanted to cheat for the Eagles, would they have given them this schedule?
Absolutely.
Like, can we just be honest here?
Yeah.
This is a gauntlet.
This is,
meanwhile, the Niners.
It doesn't get tougher.
The Niners have the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be disrespectful to who else they have, but they have the Ravens. Who, the Seahawks again?
Seahawks again, that's really it.
And probably the Rams at some point.
They've got a Cardinals game left. Yeah, I mean, but the Niners just went through their tough stretch. Like, I think it's more just...
It wasn't this.
It was pretty tough. Looking back, because even in the preseason, I was like, this is a stretch of games where I feel like Niner fans just weren't talking enough about... And it wasn't, like, impossible games.
It wasn't this, though.
It was the stretch of having the Cowboys, Browns, Vikings, Bengals, Jags... And then this, you know, you had the Bucks, but then you had the Seahawks, Eagles, Seahawks. That's a tough stretch.
It is.
Like, it's not an easy.
No,
like,
not,
that's definitely.
No. And I'm not saying it's just the idea that the NFL is somehow in cahoots with the Eagles, but gave them the hardest schedule.
Right.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be like this, guys. I promise you, you don't have to do this. But the Niners, they did have to do this, and they really did do it because they had something to prove. And Deebo Samuel, who stood on business. Three different times,
big
right,
business.
With his touchdowns, house calls, he said it wouldn't have been close. That's what started all this, right? He said it would not have been close
double
if we
digits,
had our quarterback, right?
Said, yeah.
Now Trent Williams, he said it was much easier. He said last night, it's much easier to win when you have a quarterback. So this is what we love.
Yep.
This is what we love. You went into their house, and if there was any shadow of a doubt, I had the Niners beating the Eagles last season before Brock Purdy went down. The Niners kind of looked like this last season. It was just a smaller sample size. So now you have Brock Purdy flying up the MVP ladder. Brock Purdy now has the best odds, right, to win. Heyo, the best odds to win the MVP award, right? And my question to you, and I'm trying to say this as respectfully as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, and I'm grinning here.
Yeah.
I guess for me, you can have Brock Purdy winning the MVP, but also in your heart of hearts, not believe that he's the most valuable player on the team.
Yeah, see, I don't think that that's – I think that that could happen. I definitely don't think that that should be the reality that we all live in.
Because the NFL is a quarterback-driven league.
Yes, it is, very much.
Right? And I don't know how far, and you know, like you said, Christian McCaffrey was really at the beginning.
Right.
And it was really a Deebo game more so than Christian McCaffrey. So he didn't do enough to fly up.
Right.
If Christian McCaffrey had three touchdowns, maybe it's a bit different. But you could look at this. And my next question would be, how often does that happen? Because it's a quarterback-driven league, because you're going to give it to the QB.
Right.
How often, like when Lamar Jackson won, Lamar Jackson was the MVP.
He was.
Right?
Yes.
Now, if you're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes when he has Tyreek and Travis Kelce, you now can't flip-flop and say, well, he's got Sky Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, so now we're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes because he has nobody. You can't do both.
Yeah.
You can't do both. So I do think that Brock Purdy, based on how the NFL chooses MVPs,
their previous criteria,
win.
Right.
But do I think Brock Purdy is the – do I think Brock Purdy should be highly in the conversation for MVP? Yes.
Sure.
And if he wins, would I be upset about it? No. Do okay. I think Brock Purdy is the most valuable player on the Niners? Also, no.
Yeah, then I don't see how – just – yeah, and that's what's so frustrating is I think I 100% agree with you, except it would probably bother me if Brock won just because I just don't feel like that would be right because of the second thing you said. Like, I understand – I completely understand if this is the game we're playing with MVP, if it is just truly going to be best quarterback mm-hmm. on the best team or whatever you want to say – I understand why that has to be the case, but it shouldn't then, in turn, you shouldn't be able to say, is he even the MVP of his own team? And have that answer probably from like 7 or 8 out of 10 people be no. Like that should not be the case. In every single MVP case, this is just off of my memory. I'm not going to look at the list, but if I had to guess, most people who have won MVP of the league would very much also be the MVP of their own team. So I don't see how they can realistically give it to Brock and have that be the case. Yeah. Now, saying that, again, if we're playing that game, Brock has to be MVP. If we're playing how the NFL wants to dictate MVP, then I think it's got to be
two different things.
Exactly.
It's two yeah. different things. Yeah. So I
think Tyreek Hill should be MVP still. He should definitely. This man is on his way to 2,000 receiving yards, and the freaking Miami Dolphins are 9-3 right
He's
now.
Not. From what I've seen, here you go. You have Brock, Dak, it depends on who you're looking at.
Right.
Jalen, Mahomes at 4, Tua at 5, Lamar at 6, Tyreek at 7.
See, like that's telling in itself as well. The fact that Tua has better MVP odds than Tyreek Hill. Like that's yeah. saying exactly what the game is.
And I don't understand why it's marketing. We had this conversation when Brock wasn't in the conversation. They're never going to change it. Why don't we just do best QB? No, because it has to be. This is their brand.
Right.
So what was that? Tyreek at 7, CJ Stroud at 8, Josh Allen at 9. Christian McCaffrey at 10.
Would it almost help if the NFL, like, I don't see why this would be better because it should just be what the MVP is, but would it be better if they just have an MVP and then, like, a Heisman? Where it's just like, you know what, here's the most valuable player quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's Heisman, the most outstanding player in the NFL.
Because,
well, like, is the wording the problem at this point where it's just people / writers can't get over the valuable, there's no position in sports more valuable than quarterback. So, of course, the most valuable player of the NFL has to be a quarterback.
But what's bizarre to me is that they can say that and then in the same breath say football is the ultimate team game.
Team sport, right.
How can football be the ultimate team sport?
With the ultimate individual position.
Yes, that makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
That's never, ever made sense to me. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're continuing to talk Brock Purdy MVP odds, and we will talk with Emil Fragoso, who will join the show, our Sacktown Sports 49ers insider. 12 o'clock, 12 p.m., we start to break down Kings, Pelicans, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.